You're very welcome back to Morning Ireland. Don't worry, you haven't missed a day. This is a special Sunday edition of the programme because the chaos of Brexit goes on. Saturday was meant to be when MPs in the House of Commons either accepted or rejected Boris Johnson's revised withdrawal agreement, agreed between his government and the European Union last Thursday. But things didn't go to plan. A long-time Conservative MP who had the whip removed from him in September, Oliver Letwin, put forward an amendment which asked MPs to delay voting on the withdrawal agreement until the legislation which would implement it had been passed. His amendment passed. Here's a flavour of some of the drama from yesterday's Westminster sitting.
It is now my judgment that we have reached the best possible solution. So those who agree, like me, that Brexit must be delivered and who, like me, prefer to avoid a no-deal outcome must abandon the delusion that this House can delay again.
If you want to deliver Brexit, if you want to keep faith with the British people, if you want this country to move forward, then vote for the deal today.
Yeah! It drives the coach and horses through the Belfast Agreement by altering the cross-community consent mechanism. It was once said that no British Prime Minister could ever agree to such terms.
I do think it a pity that it is thought necessary for one side or the other in the debate in Northern Ireland to have a veto.
So I'm moving this amendment, Mr. Speaker, to ensure that whichever way any future votes may go, today or next week or the week after, we can be secure in the knowledge that the UK will have requested an extension tonight, which, if granted, can be used if and to the extent necessary, and only the extent necessary, to prevent a no-deal exit.
The ayes to the right, 322. The noes to the left, 306. Jeremy Corbyn.
The Prime Minister must now comply with the law. He can no longer use the threat of a no-deal crash-out to blackmail members to support his sell-out deal.
Any failure of a Prime Minister who thinks he's above the law, well, Prime Minister, you'll find yourself in court.
I will not negotiate a delay with the EU. Neither does the law compel me to do so. I will tell our friends and colleagues in the EU exactly what I have told everyone in the last 88 days that I've served as Prime Minister, that further delay would be bad for this country, bad for our European Union, and bad for democracy.
The British Prime Minister Boris Johnson in the House of Commons yesterday. RTE's This Week presenter Carol Coleman is in London this morning. We're also joined from Brussels by our Europe editor Tony Connolly. Carol, to you first. We heard him there saying he will not negotiate a delay with the European Union. He will not, but he has asked for an extension.
Yes, and Audrey, you recall some time ago Boris Johnson said he'd rather be dead in a ditch rather than negotiate any kind of an extension. But he has sent his letters. He's doing it to abide by the law. But of course, there's a bit of mischief attached. So he sent three. Letter number one is a photocopy, which is unsigned. And then letter number two, he says he believes that it would be a mistake to look for an extension, that such an extension would destroy the relationship built up between the UK and the EU. And the third one is to his ambassador to the EU. So he's doing what he's supposed to do. But of course, the lawyers are all over this here today. They're trying to see if they can see in court tomorrow whether he is breaking the law. And of course, as you know, the type of sanctions that have been mentioned for this is possibly putting the Prime Minister in jail.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that letter, the unsigned letter that he has sent. What does he say in that specifically? Does he give a specific end date then for the extension period?
No, he's not giving very much details because he's just trying to push this off. He's looking ahead more to tomorrow, where he believes that he can avoid all this extension business by reintroducing his meaningful vote into Parliament and having it voted on. And there were some people around here yesterday saying he should have gone for it yesterday. He was so close, he probably had the votes, but he, for some reason or other, bottled at the end and didn't go for that meaningful vote. Now it's going to be up to the Speaker of the House John Bercow to decide whether it will be allowed to take place again tomorrow. And of course, even if it does take place, there probably will be Oliver Letwins and others seeking to put in other amendments to try and make sure that there can be no crash out before October 31st by accident.
Tony, to you there in Brussels, they've received his letter.
That's right, Audrey. First of all, there was a phone call between Boris Johnson and Donald Tusk, the European Council President, at about 8:15 last night, local time. And then the three letters arrived by email just right in time for the deadline. Some officials were trying to almost psychoanalyze Boris Johnson and what intentions he might have ahead of the deadline coming into effect. There was even some speculation that if you read the Benn Act, he just has to send the request by midnight of last night. And there was some speculation that he might even post it as a letter just to, again, to have that kind of mischief effect that Carol was talking about. Of course, everyone was watching very closely, and people have been anticipating this final denouement of what was an extraordinary week. Donald Tusk last night acknowledged the receipt of the letter. He noted that the extension request had come in, and he said he would now consult with EU leaders as to the next step. The EU is not really going to be in any hurry to do this, because they absolutely want to ensure that the House of Commons concentrates on what it wants. Because if the EU were suddenly to say, yes, we'll accede to a 3-month extension or a 6-month extension, again, that takes the pressure off the House of Commons and leads us all, the EU would think, into another round of acrimony and stalemate and so on in Parliament. They would also want to see what the extension is for. Is it for a general election? Is it for a second referendum? All these things will be playing into the EU's decisions and thinking over the next while. But they do have up until the end of October, technically, to wait until giving their response as to whether or not they will grant an extension. But we'll see now in the next few days how they proceed. But all eyes, of course, will be on if and when Boris Johnson brings that meaningful vote back into the House of Commons.
And Tony, the EU leaders, in terms of an extension, they've been here twice before. Will there be a greater reluctance, particularly among some countries, to grant another extension?
I think we will certainly hear noises to that effect. Emmanuel Macron, the French Prime Minister, President, has already said that an extension benefits nobody. So there will be a lot of attention to how he plays this over the next few days. He has always been much more recalcitrant on this issue. He is very concerned that the endless Brexit saga is starting to corrode the way the EU conducts its business. They will be looking ahead to the big budget discussions next year, which will set out the 7-year budget programme. That has to be agreed by June of next year. And that will be complicated if Britain is still a member and still an obstructive member. They will also want to know whether or not the UK has to appoint a commissioner now, because they are seeking to stay in for a longer period. So all of these issues will have to be discussed and analysed by EU leaders. But ultimately, nobody in the EU wants to essentially push Britain off the cliff if it's not ready, and certainly nobody wants to take the blame for what would be a very damaging no-deal Brexit.
Okay, Tony, for now, thank you. Tony Connolly in Brussels. Carol, you'd be back on the air on This Week at 1 o'clock.